The first time that I heard your name was actually from Rachel Barton Pine back when you recorded Mozart with her a few years ago.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and she talked about you as this remarkable young talent, somebody to keep an eye on, so I was delighted to see that you have your first solo album out. Congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
It's not every day that you get to record a world premiere of music of Dmitri Shostakovich, and you've got that on here. Why don't you begin by telling us the story of how that came into your possession, how you came to record it?
Absolutely. It's actually kind of a tumultuous process. On September 25th, 2017, Strad Magazine released an article saying, "Oh my gosh, world, there's a newly discovered piece by Shostakovich for viola and piano." And of course, all violists were kind of freaking out. And I was lucky enough that the previous year, while I was on tour in St. Petersburg, I met Dr. Mila Kovnatskaya, who is the head of the Shostakovich Archive. So I contacted her, of course, about the piece and said, can I have the music, please? And she said, well, unfortunately, I'd love to give it to you, but I can't until it's published. So you have to check back or wait until that might be, and we don't know when that might be. And that was, you know, September 2017. And the rest of the album was recorded, and I still wanted to find one last piece to kind of put on it. So I thought a few months later that I would just check back in with her, and this time I sent recordings of my playing, and I told her my intentions to put it on my album and all of this stuff. And I think at that point, Yuri Boshmet had already given the world premiere performance in Russia. So she was a little bit more lenient, and she said, you know what, I love your playing, and it's not published yet, but here you go, here's the score. We'd love to have you record it. And of course, I was ecstatic. Henry Kramer, my duo partner, was ecstatic. And Sadie Records, Jim, and everybody involved there thought it was an awesome opportunity. So we released it as a digital single first, just to make sure that we could be the very first recording.
Well, it certainly gives you a lot of viola cred to have that notch in your belt there. I mean, Shostakovich, did he write other works for the viola? I mean, there's one other piece, right?
Yeah, the very last piece he ever wrote, basically on his deathbed, was the Viola Sonata, which is a completely different work. It's huge. It's like 35 minutes long. Mm-hmm. It's kind of autobiographical. It's definitely dark in nature. But what's interesting about the impromptu, which is only 2 minutes long, it was composed in one sitting, is that even though it's kind of a simple composition, it's basic mcha mcha in the piano with a melody in the viola, it's unmistakably Shostakovich, and you hear that by the second bar. The way that it turns into this kind of sardonic character immediately, it just screams Shostakovich. So that was really cool to kind of try to work on it in a way that made it meaningful in history as a composition of Shostakovich, right? Like if it were just a melody, you'd probably play it a little bit different than knowing that he was going through, he was scared, you know, the KGB was knocking at his door left and right. I think it definitely informs interpretation. And that was a really fun process.
Well, and to hear one of those Shostakovich-like dark, sardonic melodies played by the viola sort of makes you wish he'd written more for that instrument, because it really fits his language really well.
I agree. And, you know, there's kind of a trend with composers who turn to the viola later in life. I think it's just an instrument that the characteristics of it are subtle, but deep and extremely rewarding. And I'm so happy that I was able to release an album with all sorts of viola repertoire to showcase the many facets of this wonderful and often overlooked instrument.
Well, let's talk about some of the other repertoire on the disc, because there's such a wide variety here. It's really interesting, an interesting program. Did you formulate this yourself, or did you work with other folks, or how did you come up with the program for the recording?
Yeah, so I was on tour. I was doing a recital tour a few years ago with a fantasy-themed program. And I thought, you know, that would make a great album. And I definitely wanted to commission a new piece to go along with it. So the Clarice Assad Metamorphose is definitely kind of the keystone of this album. And so it's titled Ascent, the whole album. And that kind of has a bunch of different meanings. So several of the pieces on it are directly related to flying.
Mm-hmm.
They have flying images. And I've just always thought that fantasy pieces in general kind of have this like weightlessness. They kind of soar through many different character changes really quickly. And also the whole project was sort of an homage to my mom. So I thought it was really fitting to title the whole thing Ascent, to kind of allude to upward momentum in general.
Yeah. And you mentioned your program notes, your mother, she passed away a few years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you work with Clarice when she was writing that piece, or has she written for viola before? What is her experience?
I don't think she's written for viola before, but I first heard of her when I came across a piece she wrote for violin and chamber orchestra called Dreamscapes.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with her compositional language. I think she's got this beautiful mix of kind of romantic expression with innovative colors. And luckily she agreed to work with me and write me a piece. And before she wrote a single note, we met and we became really close friends kind of immediately. We hit it off right away. And I think that that really helps the collaborative process when you can really get to know someone. So it really feels like a deeply meaningful and deeply personal work for both of us. So that was really also an amazing process.
Well, you have another contemporary work on here by Garth Knox, who is a violist,
mm-hmm.
and has written a lot of music for the instrument. Can you tell us about that piece?
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the pieces that was on the program, the recital program that I was touring with a few years ago. And Garth Knox is known to violists as writing kind of idiomatic pieces for the instrument. Like you said, he was a violist. And I just really fell in love with the way that that piece kind of plays with old and new. It's called Fuga Libre, which is also kind of a double meaning because it is kind of a quasi-fugue. It starts out with a fugue subject, but it also means free flight. So by the end of, I think, the 8-minute piece, the viola kind of really takes off and you can really hear it. At the end, there's all sorts of cool sound effects. At one point, I'm doing glissando and playing on the bridge, and it sounds like feedback from an electric guitar, all sorts of cool harmonics. It's just a really cool instrumental showcase.
I'm curious, did you start out on the viola? I know many string players, they move around from one instrument to the other. Was it always viola for you, or did you start on something else?
I actually did start on viola. I started in public school on the south side of Chicago, and I immediately fell in love with the instrument. But then a few years later, when I was probably 14 or 15, I started becoming envious of the attention that violinists were getting. And I think I still have a little bit of that attitude because, as you can see, the last piece on the program is Carmen Fantasy that was originally composed for violin, and not only violin, but the greatest violinist, Yasha Heifetz.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've always been kind of a violist who feels like I have to prove that viola can do just everything that the violin can and even more.
That's interesting. And also the fact that you admit that, I think, is awfully big of you. I saw a video with you when you were at Juilliard talking a little bit about the sound of the viola and how it appeals to you. And I wonder if you might talk about a little bit about your instrument in particular. I know you have a Gofrilla, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Sure. Well, I've been fortunate enough to play an antique Italian viola from the year 1700 by the preeminent Venetian maker Matteo Gofrilla now for Oh, geez, how old am I? It's been about 9 years already that I've had this instrument on loan from the Rachel Barton Pine Foundation. And I think antique instruments are unique because I think they have this aura about them. People always talk about Stradivarius, obviously Guarneri, and how amazing they are. And they are, but they are also just tools. And the older they get, the more finicky they become.
Hmm.
But the reward is that they have so much personality that's been kind of inserted into them over the years by previous players. So this particular viola, it's been a real process. We've developed a relationship over time. I think it probably took me about 3 or 4 years before I really felt comfortable with it, actually. And now, basically everywhere I go, I get complimented. Because it just has such a unique and personal and also just full of quality sound. It's not like it's loud, but you just always hear it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm very lucky to be able to play it.
Yeah, it records really well, I have to say. It sounds lovely.
Thank you.
There are a couple of pieces on here that I did want to point out. We have the Schumann Fairy Tales, but also music by the English composer York Bowen, who wrote a couple of wonderful symphonies, but I didn't know this fantasy for viola and piano. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, Bowen actually himself was a violist. He wrote many pieces for viola, including 2 sonatas, a concerto, and a bunch of short pieces. So he's kind of unknown to the rest of the world, but amongst violists, we do play his music, and the fantasy that he wrote for viola and piano has been my favorite of his for several years. And the whole kind of idea behind the album was that I wanted to juxtapose kind of romantic favorites with new music. And the Bowen came to mind. Obviously, it's a fantasy piece, but it's also just heart on sleeve playing the whole time, which is kind of my favorite type of playing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very personal when I play it. And Henry is amazing at that piece. There are a lot of really difficult piano licks that he just flies through.
So. Yeah. Henry Kramer, your pianist. You guys have been working together for some time now, right?
Yeah, I think we first played together in 2012 in Chicago at the Ravinia Staines Institute when we were both students at Juilliard.
Yeah, that's great. So the final work that we have not talked about yet is the Schumann piece, the Fairy Tales, which was actually written for viola and piano, right?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, Schumann had a relationship with Joseph Joachim, who was obviously a violinist, but I think I can't help but think to myself that Schumann later in life, this is, I think it's 1851, so he stopped composing shortly after this, was drawn to the kind of inherent darkness of the viola, and he wrote 4 fairy tale pictures. They're all kind of unique character pieces by themselves. They're not necessarily related the way a sonata would be, so the deft character changes are what make this a fantasy piece, and it's definitely one of the big standards of the viola repertoire. And Henry and I have been performing that piece also for 3 or 4 years already, so it just seemed to be the perfect addition.
Yeah, and it's sort of an anchor for your program here on the recording, I can see.
Exactly. People see Schumann and they click.
They're like, okay, I can listen to Assad if I can get Schumann.
Right.
Well, the album is called Ascent from violist Matthew Lippmann. Congratulations on your first solo album, along with pianist Henry Kramer. This is available from Sidi Records out of Chicago. And Matthew, thank you for joining us and giving us a little insight into the album here on FM 91.
Thank you so much, Brad.